I want to talk a little bit about empirical evidence. That is the idea that faced with certain evidence for God and for the Bible or whatever, you will therefore believe. And people are always saying to me, oh, you should watch this video, you should watch this movie, oh, you should read this book. There's really great evidence that the Bible's true, etc. And I'm sort of not interested, really, because I believe. And when I look at the large number of people, well in the thousands, who I've, in the course of my life, baptized and been involved in their conversion, many of those folks were from atheist, communist backgrounds in the former Soviet Union, or were Muslims from Iran particularly, who had not grown up believing that the Bible was true or that Jesus is true or whatever. And they came to their beliefs and their faith in Jesus and their baptism into him not on the basis of having watched a bunch of movies that indicate from various supposed empirical evidence that God is, the Bible is, etc. There is a hole in the human heart that only Jesus can fix. Peter says, you, by him, by Jesus, believe in God. You believe in God by Jesus, not because of evidence, so-called. And it is that humble heart that knows that everything with me is not good. Everything with me is not quite all right. I have sinned, I have failed, and I want cleansing, and I want relationship with God. And that is how it has been all down the centuries, the millennia, really. Because empirical evidence, such as is often presented on videos and so forth, these days, was simply not around. The so-called science just wasn't there. And yet people believed in God quite legitimately without all that stuff to prop it up. The problem with so-called empirical evidence is that what happens if a plank drops out of it? What happens if you're all keen about archaeology confirms the Bible on this point or that point, and then, that's disproven? What happens if your favourite pet scientific bit of evidence to support the Bible's truth or whatever, it gets disproven or falls through? What happens if you've based your faith on the Bible because you say that there are prophecies that have been fulfilled and are fulfilling, and then, well, geopolitics in the world takes a different turn? I grew up with people bashing away at Ezekiel 38. The USSR is going to invade Israel. Well, the USSR finished a few decades ago, and I don't suppose it will revive. And things like this. And what happens if Jesus doesn't come back? I mean, I really hope he does soon, but what happens if he doesn't come back for another 100 years, 200 years, or whatever? What happens if our little pet prophetic theories are wrong? What happens if the state of Israel is wiped out and stays wiped out for another 500 years? What would happen? Of course, you may say, but it won't because the Bible says this, that, and the other. Yeah, what happens if your interpretation is wrong? Now, for me, that doesn't make any difference because my faith is not based on that. You may say, well, what's your faith based on? Here's my point. Nothing. Nothing. You heard me right. Hebrews 11 says that faith by its definition and by its nature is not based upon that which is seen. It's not based on what is seen. So you may say, so that's a circular argument. No. By Jesus, we believe in God. When you encounter him, and I mean encounter him, not a load of so-called evidence that there's a God or the Bible's true and all that, or both of which things I totally believe. But when you encounter him, you are thereby persuaded of God, of the wonderful truth of everything. As he says, he is the only way to the Father. He himself said that. There is no other way. And so I want to just look at a few Bible examples of what I'm talking about. For one thing, you look at Israel in the wilderness. I mean, they had all the empirical evidence you could want. They had a pillar of fire and cloud with an angel in it. They heard the voice of God himself on Sinai. They had manna, quails, water from the rock, and they still didn't believe. They still said, well, if there's a God, he wants to kill us. Let's go back to Egypt. Let's appoint us a captain. Let's make a golden calf. Well, no amount of empirical evidence persuaded them, did it? And when you look at how God speaks to people, it is simply on the basis that I am, and I have a total claim upon you. Jeremiah 27, God sends messengers to through the prophets to the king of Edom, king of Moab, Ammonites, Tyre, Sidon, and so forth. And they were told, thus says Yahweh of armies, the God of Israel, I made the earth, the men and the animals that are on the surface of the earth by my great power and by my outstretched arm, and I gave it to whom it seems right to me. I have given these lands into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, and I've given him all the animals as well. So God comes over as sovereign. He sees no need to justify himself by so-called apologetics. If there were supposed to be apologetic reasons to believe in God that you've got to get off pat and be persuaded by, well, the Bible would give them. If there are such reasons, and of course there's whole books of them, you know, I think of Josh McDowell, it's a bit dated now, but it was a big thing in my youth, Evidence That Demands a Verdict. And Volume 2 came out, and we all read it and thought it was great. And it, you know, it sort of is in its own way. But God doesn't do that. God doesn't say, look, here's evidence. He is. And in the hearts of people, they know that. There is within the heart of everybody, even in the heart of the most damaged conscience, this awareness of God and this gap in their heart. And they only refuse to let it be filled because of, human pride, really, and a refusal to repent. That's the problem, not lack of evidence. And quite honestly, if there is all this utterly overpowering scientific evidence, empirical evidence for the existence of God and the Bible, well, sort of, excuse me, but why don't people believe it then, if it's so obvious? And of course, people who do all into this empirical evidence stuff will wring their hands and say, I don't know why they don't believe it. I can't understand. It's so clear. I just don't understand what's the matter with people these days. But no, it's because faith is not based on that. Faith is based on something else. It is based on Jesus himself. This is why the old accounts of the early missionaries rocking up on the shores of some island in the Pacific or jungle of Africa and drawing pictures of the crucifixion of Jesus and trying through language barriers, etc., to persuade men and women about him. And they say that, yeah, when we talked about the cross and the love of God in Jesus and the love of Jesus, yeah, the lights went on and some people believed. And they were persecuted by the other people in their tribe, blah, blah, but they still believed. No empirical evidence. The message itself persuaded them. And David really is the same when he talks in Psalm 119 about the word of God. He says in verse 152, of old I have known from your testimonies that you founded those testimonies forever. Well, he put meaning into words and go through it slowly. It all seems a bit of a logical circle that sort of is just a little bit sort of circular in its reasoning. Of old I have known from your testimonies that you founded them forever. I have known from your words that you founded those words, established those words to last forever. I have known from your words that you founded or established those words forever. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Not you know, scientific evidence, empirical evidence is not in view there at all. And so then it is the internal evidence within the Bible, I would say, the way that the whole message of God in Christ hangs together, as it is expressed in the Bible, it is that which seems to impress me, I think, more than anything. And it's the same with other people. And when you look at how people have responded to empirical evidence, it's not a great picture. I've already presented evidence about Israel, that they had all the empirical evidence when they were in the wilderness, but they still disbelieved. And I think of people I know and you know who've had all the empirical evidence believe, and then they disbelieve and walk away. Well, why, if it's so utterly overpowering? And I like to think about the Philistines at the time when the ark is captured by them in 1 Samuel 5 and 6. And God does all these miracles. He makes Dagon fall over. They accept this is the hand of God. And then they say, let's get rid of this ark of the God of Israel because he is more powerful than our gods. And so they put the ark of Yahweh on a cart with lots of expensive sort of jewels to show their remorse. And they send it away. They put two milk cows, which had never been yoked, to the cart, took their calves away from them, so they're not naturally going to go anywhere, and they take off at full speed, and it went right up to Beth Shemesh. It went back to Israel. And even at that point, they say, if it goes to its own territory, to Beth Shemesh, then Yahweh has done us this great evil. But if not, then we shall know it's not his hand that struck us. It was just a chance that happened to us. But wait a minute. Up until that point, they had had a huge amount of empirical evidence that Yahweh was smiting them. And they had admitted this at the time, that this must be the God of Israel. There's no way it could be anything or anyone else. As I say, with Dagon falling over and them being smitten with emeralds and all this kind of thing, they had really seen this evidence very, very clearly. And yet they still said, well, that might have just been chance. The statistical chances of that all being chance, with Dagon falling down in front of the Ark of God, and then setting Dagon back in his place, and then Dagon falls on his face, and the palms of his hands are broken off and lie on the threshold. Dagon was the fish god, and a fish hasn't got a head, palms, or hands. And all the things that they'd added to their fish got broken off, and only Dagon was sort of left to him. This is quite clearly the hand of God against them. But then, despite feeling that and saying, yeah, we should give a huge amount of money to this God of Israel and send his ark back to him, lest he destroy us anymore, then despite all that, they still struggle to, well, they don't struggle, they still say this might have just been bad luck. Well, I think you see there how difficult it is to base your faith on empirical evidence. So what I say to you is this. When you reconstruct in your mind the death of Jesus on the cross, which is a solemn duty for every human being, and certainly for you and me as Christian believers, try and let him catch your eye. Him there, in his crucified position, with arms outstretched above his head, dying for you, covered in blood and spittle. And you must believe. You will believe, if you're humble. And if you are open to him, and you will give your heart and soul to him, you will sell your socks for his cause, you will give everything for him. Not because of some video that you saw. Not because chariot wheels were apparently discovered on the shores of the Dead Sea. Or because, I don't know, a giraffe skeleton was found on the slopes of Mount Ararat, or whatever. That's all neither here nor there. He is the one who ultimately will persuade us.